So the scripture this week is from Luke. It's chapter 12, verses 49 through 56. I came to cast a fire on the earth, and would that it already be kindled. I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how great is my distress until it is accomplished. Do you think that I've come to give peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. For from now on, in one house there will be five divided, three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. He also said to the crowds, when you see a cloud rising in the west, you say at once, a shower is coming. And so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say there will be scorching heat. And it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky, but you do not know how to interpret the present time. And why do you not judge for yourself what is right? As you go with your accuser before the magistrate, make an effort to settle with him on the way, lest he drag you to the judge and the judge hand you over to the officer and the officer put you in prison. I tell you, you will never get out until you have paid the very last penny. So I called this coming judgment. And so I think it's important for us to know a little background here. So for that time, 2,000 years ago, fire was considered a symbol of the coming judgment. And so for judgment, a lot of times you might think of it as the second coming of Christ. The other thing that so this is just Ed's personal opinion. Don't go look it up in a book and say, oh yeah, nobody else believes this. But one of the other things I think people kind of pass over is it may be that our time on earth is up before the second coming is. And so I think it's important to know that when the time's up, the time may be up because Jesus came, our time may be up because our time is up on earth. And so for the Jewish people, they always thought that God held them in a special different regard than all other people. So when this judgment was going to come to them, they were going to be judged in one way, and all other peoples and nations were going to be judged in another way. Now, you may think, well, why did they think they were so special? But there's a lot of Old Testament scripture that said, you know, they were God's chosen. The problem is, and it's still a problem now, is sometimes when we think we're going to be judged different, then we think we're better than everybody, and the rules that apply to the general people don't apply for us. If that's anybody here, you might want to think about that during communion today and see where you're at on that. So for Jesus, he's also telling them about this terrible time to come, because he knows he's going to be crucified, but it's also a promise that he's going to endure it, and he's going to emerge from that triumphant. So he's giving this life as a ransom for everybody then, everybody that's been since then, for us now and all to come in the future until that time comes for the second coming. Now, I think the part of this scripture that's always bothered or confused me a little bit, where he talks about this split coming in families. Because I would think that Jesus coming would bring everybody together. Now, that wouldn't have been true 2,000 years ago. So if you were a nice Jewish boy and you went home to mom and dad and you said, you know what, the best thing in the world happened to me today. I saw this Messiah, Jesus Christ, and he is the Son of God, and I'm going to follow him. And they're going to call that the way. And mom and dad are saying, he's not the Messiah. You are wrong. Not just a little wrong, you are way wrong on this. And if you continue to do this, we're going to act like you die. In fact, we're going to have a funeral for you because you are dead to us and we no longer want you and or expect you to be part of the family. And so that happened all over the place where people would come in and say, oh, yes, we've seen Jesus Christ and he is the Messiah. And if you were from a Jewish family, mom and dad would say, you got to go. Because that is not correct. And so we have this split, and I still think that happens today. You have some part of the family that believes and some that doesn't, and sometimes they can't find a way to come together to make that work. And so the other thing he's talking about here is, who are we going to love? Are we going to love family, or are we going to love Jesus? Now, Steve Loft, who just recently retired, was our pastor at Yorktown, and he did a message on this, love of Jesus first, love of God first. And I just had a hard time with it. And so later on, I went up to him and I said, Steve, I don't understand why family wouldn't come first, why you wouldn't take care of your kids first, why Jesus and God have to be first. I said that it seems to me like I would protect my kids before I would do that. And he said, okay. He said, I understand what you're saying, Ed, but if you don't have that love of God and Jesus in your heart, then are you really going to be able to love your kids and your spouse and your family the way you want to? And so it made sense to me. Now, there were still people in the church that went, oh, no, family's first. And I'm sure there's probably somebody here today thinking the same thing. But think about that as how God works in that relationship with family and friends. And so I put some other things here. So I do this like on Monday, but I've already changed my mind on some stuff. So don't pay attention to the order, because we're going to change a little bit. And so for some people, it doesn't become love of God, it becomes love of country. And so in some churches, you'll see where they've taken out the flag of whatever country it is, in our case, United States, because they don't want people to get confused and think that love of country comes before love of God. And so if you go into a church and you don't see an American flag in the United States, that's probably came up as an idea, and somebody took it out because of that. They don't want people to get confused. So we talked about love of family a little bit. Are you going to love your family more than you love the Lord? And are you going to let that get in the way? And then are you going to love yourself more than you're going to love the Lord? And right now, we're kind of in a me time. I'm sure there's been me times before where it's all about me. So one of the things I noticed at the funeral for Carolyn, they had photos of them. Okay? Somebody was taking them all the time. It was almost always Bob taking the picture, because Bob was never in the picture. If you had a younger person that passed away now, that younger person would be in the picture because they would have taken it by themselves with their cell phone. Right? Because it's a different time. You always want yourself to be in the picture. A lot of the pictures we have of the girls in Bonita when we were places, I'm never in those pictures because I'm the one taking the picture. But go back and think about how that's changed. And I think that's representative of where we put self in relationship to others and to God. So how many of you read Sharon Randolph? Thanks. So I brought her article. Now, she was gone this week, it says. And so this was from 2016. The only thing that Sharon does on a regular basis that she wears me out sometimes is she talks about her husband who passed away a lot. It almost comes up in every article, even though she's been remarried for a number of years. And so this article was written in 2016, but she ends up talking about him, and he was a teacher and a basketball coach, and she names other things he did. But he ended up with cancer. And originally they told him he only had like 3 or 4 months to live, and he ended up living for 5 or 6 years. But she talks about his life and struggle. And so I think this is important, that even though he was dealing with all these different medical procedures they tried to do and medicines, and he knew as he was seeing his family, he didn't know how long it was going to be before he didn't get to see him again. At the end of the article, and it was in last, I think she's in Thursday's paper or Wednesday's paper if you want to go see it, the last thing she said is, the thing that always happened no matter who he was seeing, whether it was the grandkids or the kids, whether it was her or family, that he always told them that he always knew that God came first. So even though he's dealing with this, his end time on earth, because he knows it's going to be any time, he always put God first. Now, in case you guys never have noticed, I tell stories. Has anyone ever noticed that? And so what happens during the 10 days or so between the time I write the scripture and the time we get to Sunday, or as Tim at New Burlington says, you change it entirely from a week to the time that I see you the next time. I run into people and they tell me stories, and then I add the stories into the message. And so I was playing golf this week. I know you guys are very surprised about that. And I was talking to a guy, and he said his brother-in-law really was injured in the last week or so. He was a painter. Somebody had bought an old church that the church wasn't there anymore. This guy was, this family was going to redo it and make it a wedding hall. He's up on a ladder about 15 feet. He's painted 100 times on a 15-foot tall ladder, and he fell. He landed on his head. Didn't die. He has a skull fracture. And so now they're starting rehab. He has some issues with memory. And he said when you talk to him, he's just not quite the same. And they don't really know if that's going to come back or not. But earlier when I was talking about our time being up, we never know when something like that's going to change our whole lives. So his wife is caring for him now, and family members, because he's not able to hardly do anything on his own yet. He realizes what a miracle it was that he lived, but he doesn't know if the way he's lived in the past is going to be the way he lives in the future. But the guy that was telling me the story said, but he was always a really strong Christian, and he said it was just such a miracle that he could have that kind of a fall in a church and survive. And it seems like everything's going to be okay, but they don't know yet. When Carolyn had her brain aneurysm, she didn't have any medical issues before that. The doctors told her, when she told Bob, came home and told us, that the doctor said she'll never live, that she'll never come out of the coma and she'll die. And she was in a coma for 2 or 3 months, as I remember. But then I told you earlier, she lived for 14 years. We don't know when something's going to happen in our lives that either be our time on earth is gone, or we have a completely change of something that happened to us that just happens in a second. I was telling Steve and somebody was back there with us, another story. We were driving to Anderson last night and 4 deer crossed the road. The third one didn't quite leap over the car that was coming from the other direction. I've never seen a deer do a 360-degree spin and land on his feet and run away, although a little hobbled. But I don't think the guy in the car was quite as excited, because he saw the deer flip over the car. I had slowed down because I saw the deer, and my wife said, "What are you doing?" I go, "There's 4 deer. We're going to have to wait and see what happens here." The other guy apparently didn't see them. That deer could just as easily fall through the windshield, and he was huge. And so those things happen in a heartbeat. Nobody was doing anything wrong. The deer were just doing what deer do, crossing roads. He was just driving down the road, and he wasn't going fast or anything. And the reason I tell you all this is we need to be ready for that coming whenever it is. And so whatever you have to do to get ready, because we don't know. So we're going to have communion in a few minutes. And what I'd like for you to think about as you come forward and pray is, what do I need to do to become closer to the Lord? So I'm going to begin with prayer. Let us pray. Merciful God, we confess that we've not loved you with our whole heart, that we've failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us from joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with always in the power of your word and Holy Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is the blood of my new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me, and so in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice. In union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be the world, the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in his final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Father, we're so thankful again that we can come together to worship and to praise you. Let us take your love and grace out into a world in need of it. Let us be the beginning of a change to make the world a better place. Amen. Amen.